Hag Sameach, and welcome to the Shofar Ministry Program. This is Dan with my joyful partner in life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, my dear, and we hope that you had a joyous Feast of Tabernacles. The good news about being born again in Yeshua is we experience the season of joy all the time. And so, obvious as to why God chose this particular season for Jesus to be birthed on this world. We'll be concluding our teaching on the fall feast tonight as it is the final and eighth day of Tabernacles. Very unique in its own way. So let's pray.
Abba, Father, we with humble adoration praise you as we drench ourselves with your Mayim Hayim, living water of your word that gives us life and power over our enemy. We covet your holy presence tonight. Help us to better focus on things that truly matter. We lift up to you our recent prayer requests and for the salvation of all our loved ones. And please, watch over the Christians still left in Afghanistan who we know are either hiding or running for their lives. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, any important news?
Well, Biden's poll numbers are dropping.
Yeah, he's on some shaky ground.
The Afghanistan withdrawal has, well, it was a huge debacle, still is. And the major leaders are actually being grilled on the Hill this week.
More on all that next week.
Mm-hmm. Sadly, Christians and our Afghan allies are still being slaughtered by the Taliban. Inflation is growing, outrageous vaccine mandates. The border is a continual crisis, and he's made no progress in dealing with China. In fact, he keeps giving them a pass, and he will continue to.
Because he is highly compromised.
Oh, yeah, big time. And we all knew it when he was campaigning, but people just didn't care.
All because they didn't like Trump's personality.
It's shameful. Mm-hmm. And Arizona's audit of a much-anticipated revealing of election fraud did not happen. But why would it? If the enemy can fix an election, he can also fix an audit.
Evil people do evil things.
Always. One more thing. Are you noticing how many of the vaccinated are getting COVID?
Yes, and more on that next week as well.
Mm-hmm. Some good news is as much as our progressive squad tried to stop it, Congress still passed the bill to give Israel $1 billion to replenish its stockpile for its Iron Dome and Scepter missiles, which were severely depleted in Gaza's battle last May.
God says, those who bless Israel, I will bless.
Genesis 12:3. Amen.
Mm-hmm. All right, then. You can send your end time question by email to Sheila at shofarministry.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. If you appreciate this type of teaching, please consider a love offering to help with our expenses and to keep us on the air, and we'll add you to our newsletter mailings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net. Okay, a quick review from last week's program?
Yes, as outlined in Leviticus 23 and Nehemiah 8, during this week-long plus one-day festival of tabernacles, they would reside in a sukkah. That's like a lean-to made mostly of branches and leaves, so they could be sure to see through the ceiling at God's great creation. Tabernacles, which by the first century was the fullness of time for Jesus' birth, and to the Jewish people, a memorial of their time spent in the wilderness, where God took care of them completely, as we pointed out last week. It was in a sukkah that Jesus was born in.
And there is more detailed description of this in Nehemiah chapter 8.
Right. Now, last week we also explained the major typological ceremonies performed during the feast, as in the waving of the lulav.
A picture of diversity.
Right, where anyone from anywhere can join the family of God. We also looked at another great typology, a ceremony titled the House of the Water Pouring, held on the seventh day called Hoshana Rabbah.
Which was yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And it would be led by a priest playing a flute called the Pierced One, which then resulted with the living water called the Mayim Hayim, taken from the Pool of Siloam, joining those with the vessel of red wine, which would be poured out together upon the altar of sacrifice. Of course, this represents the coming sacrifice when Jesus' side would be pierced and Christ's blood and water was poured out upon the cross.
Well, he is our living water.
Hallelujah. Now, tonight we want to look at some other idiomatic titles for this festival and then finish with the significance of the extra eighth day.
Well, you know, that, of course, also points to Jesus.
Everything does. Mm-hmm. And we also mentioned last week that according to Zechariah 14:16, this feast will be celebrated in the millennial kingdom as well and will actually kick off the millennial kingdom on earth when Jesus returns at his second coming in Jerusalem. And it's also called the Feast of Nations.
Because it's for all people.
Yes. Every year in Israel during Tabernacles, you will see many different nations carrying their own flags. I was there one year during this feast, and it was quite remarkable to see, along with an abundance of various decorative lighted sukkahs.
Definitely a season of joy.
I know, right? Lots of dancing in the streets, holding the Torah scrolls. So why wouldn't God pick this time for his son to be born? It is just so like him to organize it all with such detail.
Well, you know, it's also called the Feast of Dedication.
Yes, because Solomon dedicated his temple during this feast, 1 Kings 8.
Also, the Greater Feast of Lights.
Yes, and this is really cool because they would erect 75-foot tall light candles using the priest's undergarments for the wicks, which were lit every sundown, that would light up all of Jerusalem. So, as recorded in John 8, what did Jesus yell out while looking up at these enormous lights?
I am the light of the world.
Right, so very fitting to not only have been born on the first day of Tabernacles, but to then later utilize this exact timing to tell the people that he was that light. Everything fits perfectly.
Just like a puzzle.
Mm-hmm. And by connecting the dots, we can know, therefore, that 280 days earlier, he was placed in Mary's womb, which just happens to be, wait for it, the eighth day of Hanukkah.
Also called the Feast of Lights.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus' number is 8, which represents eternity never ending.
So many details.
And so often missed.
It's also called the Feast of Ingathering.
Because the entire fall festival would be gathered in as a type of his righteous sheep of Matthew 25. And like the parable in Matthew 13, when the wheat is separated from the tares, which are finally burned. Revelation 19:20 says, when he returns with us at the end of the tribulation, the tares, or literally the Antichrist and the false prophet, are thrown in the lake of fire. And then he sets up his kingdom on earth.
And will then tabernacle physically with us again.
But this time, as our ruler and king, when we celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb, also in that glorious season of joy. Now we're his wife, Revelation 19:7.
Along with the tribulation saints.
And along with the 144,000 Messianic Jews and those who were martyred and now returned from waiting under the altar in their new resurrected immortal bodies.
Revelation 6:9 and Revelation 24.
Okay, let's dive now into this very special eighth day.
Which just happens to be today.
It is, Tishri 22. And we know, as ordered by God in Leviticus 12, that all baby boys must be circumcised on the eighth day after their birth. And now we know why.
Because the blood clots more quickly on the eighth day.
And only on the eighth day after birth. And that's because of vitamin K, which just happens to be at its peak only on the eighth day, which stops possible hemorrhaging.
Well, you know, today, hospitals give the baby boys a shot of vitamin K.
But remember, God gave these detailed instructions thousands of years before in the Torah, long before they ever knew anything about the importance of clotting, or certainly vitamin K.
Oh, that info is a gold nugget.
Oh, for sure. So use it when witnessing to someone who thinks the Bible was just written by man and not inspired.
As so many other facts confirm, inspiration as well.
Oh, yeah, many, which we have covered in past programs and still found on our website, shofarministries.net. Now, as an adult, Abraham's circumcision was a symbol of the first covenant that had to be sealed by the shedding of blood. And as a typology of Christ shedding his blood by his circumcision for the Jew first, as required by Jewish law, but then also on the cross as his covenant for the whole world.
Well, let's speak about Yeshua's writing in the dirt episode.
Oh, yes, this is good. Okay, in John chapter 8, verse 8, which was the eighth day of the feast, and we know that is because Scripture tells us it was the next morning in John 8, verse 2, after the great day of Hoshana Rabbah, which is the seventh day of Tabernacles.
John 7:37.
Mm-hmm. Now, remember, this would be a high Sabbath.
Leviticus 23:36.
So, Jesus went to the temple. Now, we knew that besides the normal Torah readings, they also read a few passages from the prophets as well. And that day and that year, it would have been out of Jeremiah, which back then was tradition due to the elaborate ceremony surrounding the fountain of living water, the Mayim Hayim, that Jeremiah refers to in chapter 17:13. Which they would have just heard read in the temple. Very convenient and well planned by God. Let's read that.
O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters.
Mm-hmm. So again, Jeremiah's scripture would still be fresh in their minds, since they had just read it. The backstory is recorded in John chapter 8 about the woman caught in adultery who they brought to Jesus. Remember, the Pharisees said she should be stoned and wanted his opinion. We know Yeshua forgave the woman, but we seldom discuss what else he did. So let's read what the Pharisees said to Jesus about the lady adulterer on the eighth and final day of the feast. John 8, starting in verse 5.
Now Moses, in the law, commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they may have found something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw the first stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one.
Something clicked. They got it. They totally knew what Jesus was doing, and so no one accused her.
So, what did he write?
Well, we've heard many explanations, but most overlooked the scripture from Jeremiah that was not only read in the temple that day, but also likely heard a sermon on it. And here's why we can know it was read, because Jeremiah speaks on the fountain of living waters, which is the ceremony just done the day before on the seventh day called Hoshana Rabbah. You know, it's kind of how we read Luke 1 and 2 during the traditional Christmas time. So now let's read that again. Jeremiah 17:13.
O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. those who depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water.
Right. So he more than likely wrote their names in the earth, which was a symbol of being doomed to the grave. They knew they were not without sin.
So they dare not accuse her.
Time and time again, we can see that Yeshua taught the people deep messages of himself purposely during these festivals, which were very important to them.
Because God wanted them to be.
Absolutely. How much more important for us to learn and to see Jesus in these appointments and the awesomeness of God to have pre-planned and organized every single event to be a major teaching tool centuries in advance.
Detail by detail.
It really, truly is amazing. Mm-hmm. It's so phenomenal to me that I actually have to catch my breath whenever I think of all that he has maneuvered so that those that choose to, and it's always one's choice, can see him in a deeper and much brighter light. This is, as we often say, why knowing Hebraic roots is such a blessing, because you see so many hidden golden nuggets of God that truly does increase your faith.
More Jesus, more faith. Yeah, it's just that simple.
Okay, the eighth day of Tabernacles is also called Shemini Atzeret, which means the closing assembly of the eighth day, again, on an extra Sabbath, so they did go to their assembly. Still another name for the eighth day is Simchat Torah.
Means rejoicing in the Torah.
Because they would finish reading the whole Torah in 1 year, ending in Deuteronomy 34, and then begin all over again in Genesis 1. You know, the Torah, it's like a circle. It's never ending. You know, like eternity, which is why it occurs on the eighth day of Tabernacles, because the written number 8 itself has no ending. It's like two circles. As we have said, every Saturday, the same sequential reading of the five books of Moses is read all around the world in all the synagogues, until on Simchat Torah, they celebrate the starting over, and they start over reading the Torah once again.
The Word, like Jesus, is never ending.
Oh, for he is the Torah. It's the Word.
In fact, the entire Word, John 1:1.
Every word of it. But listen to this. I have a quote here on a totally Jewish website that says this. On Simchat Torah, we rejoice in the Torah, and the Torah rejoices in us. The Torah, too, wants to dance, so we become the Torah's dancing feet. Well, someday they will realize just what they are confessing to, because he miraculously resides in all believers. He's the Torah that resides in us. And that's what they say. And still today, on this very day, they really do literally hold onto their big Torah scrolls while singing and dancing in the streets. Truly, I saw that with my own eyes when in Israel during this gala feast, just so many of them going in circles and holding these big Torah scrolls. It certainly was great to see. Anyway, one of their famous songs sung on the eighth day of this Feast of Joy is titled Sisu Vi Simku, which means, let us rejoice together on Simchat Torah and give honor to God's Torah. And here's a noteworthy true fact. Did you know in the Gematria, which is the numbering system for letters in both Greek and Hebrew, all of Jesus' names are divisible evenly by 8, with nothing left over, no remainder. Now, that in itself is so amazing. So let me leave you tonight with an example. The Greek name for Jesus is Isus, meaning Savior. Now, let's take it apart. The I has a value number of 10. H has a value of 8. S is 200. O is 70. U is 400. And S is 200. Well, when you add that all together, you get 888. really? Now, if you look in Hebrew at names given to Yeshua, the pattern remains. And here's an example. Christ is 1,480 or 185 times 8. Now, Savior is 1,408, which is 176 times 8. Lord is 800. Of course, that's 100 times 8. And Messiah is 656, which is 82 times 8. Again, this is all even. Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man, a term which occurs 88 times and has a gematria of 2,960. Some say gematria, whichever you prefer. But that is 370 times 8. And the word truth, well, that's 64, 8 times 8. So fitting. Honestly, could man have planned all that? No way. The probability of any one of his names, chosen number, being evenly divisible by 8 is 1 in 8. While the chances of just 4 of his names being evenly divisible by 8 is 1 in 4,096, or 8 times 8 times 8 times 8, and so on. Yet, the probability of this consistency simply occurring by accident of 7 names would be 1 and an astounding 2,097,152. And yet it does. The scriptures has to be divinely inspired. There's no getting around it. So, man's number is 6, as you know. He was created on the 6th day. But will soon be a 7, the number of completion. Of course, Jesus will always be an 8, meaning perfection. Oh my gosh, saints, it's time to know him better. Let this ministry help you do that. So, there are many aspects to this festival. I've only touched on a little bit, and there's so much more that you can learn. But know this, you must make Jesus Lord of your life if you want to be part of the future kingdom represented and ushered in at the Feast of Tabernacles. Time is moving quickly. Be sure your relationship with Jesus is intimate. How can you be sure? Well, you'll have a desire to know him more with a passion to be in his word. His presence, our Bible, it's the only way. Remember, because Jesus is the Word. More Word, more Jesus. It's just that simple. But you got to do it. So just do it. And in case you're not aware, these really are very serious times. So open up your eyes. Now, the traditional prayer during Tabernacles is, Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who provides for me all my needs. He's our Jehovah Jireh. And I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you that perfect peace, that shalom. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. And by the way, next week we will be answering some of your very good questions that have been coming into us that we haven't had time to do because we're teaching on the feast. So anyway, that'll be next time. So if you have questions, be sure to send them in to us. God bless you. Until next time, shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.